Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Don't feel sorry for KJP because she had to get up and answer questions yesterday. She's part of the problem. She's one of the thousands who have been gaslighting the hell out of the American citizens. So please, don't feel sorry for her. Her chickens have come home to roost, and now she gets to deal with it.
Had it or hit it, drag queens.
Oh, hit that.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Robbie Rosenhaus in studio with Max Reimer, filling in for John Justice this week. John will be back on Monday. He's enjoying the sunshine of California. Producer Brett alongside. And listen, it's all in perspective. Like, I think she's a terrible person, but I'm still allowed to sort of feel bad for her. I mean, she has to get up there. What I don't feel bad for is when she goes up there and she lies like this.
I just think the question, you know, it's about, it's the way we look at our elderly parents and grandparents. It's, you maybe visit them once a year and you see troubling signs because you don't live in the same city, perhaps. And the first question that you go to is, I wonder if other, you know, I wonder if this is like a one-time thing or if it's something that has been happening for, a longer time that we need to deal with. And the second question is, where are they going to be in a year? Where are they going to be in 2 years? Yeah. Do we need to put them in a home? Like, you know, all of the questions that go through that, and this is sort of the American people's version of that.
I hear you, and that's what I'm saying. Look, this is why the president goes through, medical examinations, right? And we release those medical examinations, right? We've done that the past couple of years. We're going to continue to do that. This is why we're going to go out there and continue to be out there and do interviews and talk to the American people. And at the end of the day, I got to be careful, right? Because we are in a campaign season. But the American, the American people will see for themselves, right? And I just want to be super, super careful. But look, this is a president that has worked incredibly hard for the American people. And he, not just as president, as vice president, as a senator. And he is committed. And we cannot take away from the fact of his 3.5 years of leadership, what that has been able to do, what he's been able to get done. And that doesn't come easily. And he did it in historic fashion. He did. And the data proves that. And so, look, he's committed to continuing to make that progress, continue to work, whether it's climate change, whether it's the economy, whether it's healthcare. That is what he is committed to doing. And, he had a bad night. He did. And we are admitting that, owning up to that. You heard the president speak to that. And I think that's important for...
Not a single thing he said is accurate.
Well, not a single thing she said was accurate. But she was clearly.
That's not true. I don't believe this. They're lying on the news.
Yeah, she was.
It must suck to be that dumb.
Yeah, she was just lying through her teeth.
Yeah, to your point, Robbie, her job at lying to the American people is going to get much, much harder. She's still going to do it, but after that debate performance, it seems like the whole country has woken up. And like I said before, this idea that Joe Biden had a really bad debate night, his brain is not working properly, but we can fall back on his record, which is a good record, is laughable. It has been a horrendous 3.5 years for the American people.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And when you look at some of the stats, I mean, you talk about inflation. President Trump left in office with inflation at 1.4% and an unemployment rate of 6.4%, not the numbers that Joe Biden said. He said the economy was flat on its back and they had 15% unemployment. Those were two whoppers that Biden told wrong. I mean, we know what COVID did to this country. We know what Biden has now done to this country. And we we now know kind of the decline of obviously him and his health and just his mental acuity and KJP trying to defend it. But again, he's going to get out in front of the American public now. He's been under pressure now for the last 48 to 72 hours. And yesterday they came out with all the news about the governors, but they also came out with news that he's going to be at a press conference next week at the NATO summit. So he's going to answer questions there. I don't exactly know how long he will be answering questions for. And he's also doing a sit-down interview with ABC News and George Snuffleupagus. I mean, yeah. Stephanopoulos.
We'll see. He should have been doing this on day one. Yeah, they should have had him in front of cameras on day one if he was capable of doing that. So instead, what they're going to do is they're going to try to time this out right. They're going to try to get their serum into Joe Biden's veins again and see how long they can pump the drug infusion into this guy to keep him alive. But he should have been doing this, if he was capable of doing it, on day one. He had a disastrous debate performance where his brain was obviously not working. And again, if he was capable of doing something off the cuff, what you would do is you would try to get your guy out in front of the media, unscripted, answer hard questions, and they haven't done that because Joe Biden is not capable this.
As I had said before, one of the second aides to Biden had said it looked like the dam has broken. And what that aide, I think, means is that you can only control a narrative to a certain point. I mean, when we listen back to those clips before of our vice president and Blinken basically saying, well, don't focus on those 90 minutes, focus on the three and a half years that basically he's been in office. I mean, you go back to this clip here before the debate about all these lawmakers on the left saying that he was lucid and they were all on a one-track mind.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
This is a man who is sharp, who is on top of his game, who knows what's going on.
This guy's tough. He's smart. He's on his game.
His mental acuity is great.
This is a very sharp president.
This is a man.
So it's very easy.
Not a single thing he said is accurate.
Well, there you go. And it's easy to keep head people like our vice president and Anthony Blinken kind of in lockstep with kind of the narrative that they want to present about the 3.5 years to basically looking at the 90 minutes. But if you look at around the country and kind of controlling the narrative from the lawmaker in Texas who basically came out and said that, you know, Biden's finished. There was a lawmaker in
Sounds
Maine.
Like 25 of them yeah. are going to come out today. 25 sitting Congress people who are Democrats and ask him to step down.
And not just that, but coming from a place where, I mean, you are running for state office. So yeah. This definitely hits home for you. I mean, some Democrats suggested Biden should be thinking about the broader party's future. He has to be honest with himself. Democratic Representative Mike Quigley, a moderate from Illinois, told CNN on Tuesday, "It's his decision. I just want him to appreciate at this time just how much it impacts not just his race, but all the other races come November." And U.S. Representative Jim Clyburn, the Democrat often credited with securing Biden's nomination. Remember, he was finished. Before he went to South Carolina, he was done. And then Jim Clyburn basically handed him the keys and away he went, and he went and he ended up beating Trump and in the 2020 race. But he told MSNBC on Tuesday he would support Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee if Biden stepped aside. So again, little bits of information coming out from different parts of the country. They can control the narrative with the vice president and the secretary of defense and people in his inner circle. But outside of that, when you're dealing with so many congressmen, like you said, people are going to come out today potentially. I think it could be the wild, wild west. And as we'll get to next segment with the open convention, I think it could be anything goes here over the next 6 weeks to 2 months as we lead up to the DNC coming up in August.
Yeah, and I just want to make something very clear. Joe Biden's record as president is worse than his mental health decline. It's worse. It's not something you fall back on. If it can get worse than Joe Biden's mental health decline, it would be his record. Again, the border being wide open, the inflation, the crime, the degradation of just who we are as a constitutional republic, this idea that Joe Biden has been a great president for 3.5 years. Don't pay attention to 90 minutes. Pay attention to the last 3.5 years. There's not an independent voter who is better off than they were 4 years ago right now in this country. That's just, it's not a thing that happens. And then the other thing that I wanted to bring up, too, was with these Congress people who are jumping ship. And Jim Clyburn specifically, I think the Democrats with this open convention are going to have a real problem with the social justice crowd if Kamala Harris is passed over for this pick. Because Jim Clyburn did an interview where he said it should be Kamala Harris if it's not Joe Biden. He didn't say this, but because she is a black woman, if they pass her over for a white guy like Gavin Newsom or a white guy like Andy Beshear or a white woman like Gretchen Whitmer, after being the sitting vice president, or a white guy like Pete Buttigieg, which seems to be an emerging name here, they're going to have real problems again among their base. They're in huge, huge trouble.
That's Max Reimer. My name is Robbie Rosenhaus, here filling in for John Justice on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. You can leave us a talkback on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll have the talkback of the day, sponsored by JTR Roofing. Coming up after that, we hope to speak with former Congressman Jason Lewis on Biden, Trump, and what we've been talking about this morning. Max and I in studio until 9 a.m. Coming up next, I want to get to a Bill Maher op-ed that he wrote for the New York Times about why he's supports an open convention. We've talked a lot about Bill Maher on the show here. I think he had some very poignant words. We'll get to those next, right here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Covering the state of Minnesota and beyond. John Justice, mornings from 6 to 9 on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, FM 103.5, and on iHeartRadio.
Here's a look at the roads. 35W southbound, an accident on the left shoulder at Highway 280. 494 westbound, stop and go Portland Avenue to France Avenue. 94 eastbound, Olson Memorial Highway to Hennepin-Lindale, you'll see delays. 94 westbound, Hiawatha to the Lowry Hill Tunnel. 52 northbound, that's still heavy. Lafayette Bridge to 94, heavy on the ramp to 94 west. Currently, it's 68 degrees. Your next report in 15 minutes on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and FM 103.5. Traffic is sponsored by Allstate. Wish you could save on home insurance? With Allstate, you could easily save and get quality protection. Yep, it's a win-win. So what are you waiting for? Check Allstate first for a quote today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Radio.
News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Robbie Rosenhaus in for John Justice this week. Max Reimer, digital guru, good human, running for State House, joins in studio. Producer Brett alongside the last couple of days, doing just a tremendous job for me as he waves goodbye and takes a bow. Didn't take a curtsy, but took a bow there. And
he deserves it.
And we thank him for his tireless efforts.
So here's the story, folks.
So I wanted to get to this op-ed here from Bill Maher. First of all, before I get to this op-ed, what are your thoughts on Bill Maher? Are you a fan of his? He's coming to town in a couple of weeks playing at the Orpheum. I thought about going to see him. Listen, I understand he's a liberal commentator and he's on the left, but he also has realized for a long time, as we'll get to here, that Joe Biden was not the choice for the country. Now, he's no fan of Trump, don't get me wrong, but a lot of people aren't either. So I just think some of the things that he had to say in here are really insightful. We'll get to in a second, but your thoughts on Bill Maher.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that he's come around a little bit. He kind of understands the problem that the far left is creating for this country. I also think he's a fraud a little bit, Robbie, not to undercut what we're about to play here, but I think he analyzes the problem correctly. But I think what we're about to hear is that he still wants to endorse a Democrat opponent.
Well, he said, over the past few years, many people have told me I should stop making Biden is old jokes because it just helps Trump, quote unquote, as if voters wouldn't have noticed his age otherwise. I can't ignore the obvious. None of us can. And I'm not going to mindlessly echo mendacious talking points like he has a cold. If he had a cold, why was he out campaigning the next morning instead of putting his 81-year-old body to bed? As Joe Biden himself would say, here's the deal. What happened at the debate last week wasn't a tragedy. It was a blessing in disguise. I called on Mr. Biden to step aside almost a year ago, warning that he would be forever known as Ruth Bader Biden if he didn't. Since then, each time I would bring up that idea publicly or privately, people would dismiss it out of hand. Get on board, they'd say. The Democrats will never replace him. It's off the table. Well, now it's on the table, where it is always have should where it always should have been. And far from being some kind of disaster for the Democratic Party, it plays right into what works best in 21st century American culture. Americans like new. When Barack Obama announced he was running for president in 2007, many said he hadn't been around long enough, not realizing that his youth and inexperience were some of the best things he had going for him. He was new, and we weren't tired of him, and he didn't have an endlessly long record to pick over. If our presidential politics were a TV show, it would be a series past its prime in desperate need of new characters. The term, quote, jumping the shark derives from an infamous episode of Happy Days, where the Fonz literally jumped over a shark while water skiing in his leather jacket. The show had been on so long, the storylines had grown so tired that the producers found themselves stretching the limits of reality to drum up interest. Donald Trump talks sharks a lot. I see this as an omen. Democrats can no longer suspend disbelief. You can take away Americans' democracy, but you can't bore them. I'm already bored reading about both of these candidates. Trump is a con man and used car salesman. Yeah, I did that bit in 2017. He acts like a mafia chieftain. Yeah, 2018. And please don't make me tell the orangutan lawsuit story again. Let's move the plot line forward. Democrats could not buy with all of George Soros' money the enthusiasm with all engagement and interest they would get from having an open convention. And in Chicago, no less, famous for Democratic convention drama. We'll get to more of this op-ed in just a second. I'll get Max's thoughts. I want to take a quick break here. We have Jason Lewis waiting, former congressman. We'll get to him next, coming up right here on Twin Cities News Talk. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Robbie Rosenhaus filling in for John Justice this week. Happy July 4th to everybody out there. It's time for the Talk Back of the Day, sponsored by JTR Roofing.
Hey, Robbie.
Hi.
Flying Monkeys.
I know.
Good rock band name.
That's really not bad either. That's actually an excellent...
I hear
excellent...
they're playing the Fillmore this weekend. Copyright Zach Halverson.
And we played that earlier because all the Democratic governors are off to D.C. If you want to be in the mix for the Talk Back of the Day, sponsored by JTR Roofing, go on the iHeartRadio app. Leave us up to a 30-second message by clicking the microphone button in the bottom right-hand portion of your screen with whatever on your mind. And perhaps on Monday, we're off the next 2 days for the 4th, you'll be in the mix for the Talk Back of the Day. And what better guest to bring on to finish out this patriotic week than our former Congressman Jason Lewis, who is a frequent guest and friend of the show. And Jason, how are you today, pal?
Hey, Robbie, you're sounding great. I'm doing fine. If there were a bigger or greater munchkin in the entire United States, going to the governor's conference, Tim Walz would have to be.
I referred to him as the Cowardly Lion.
Didn't he?
I mean, he looked like is he the Cowardly Lion, Jason? What do you think?
Oh, no. That wouldn't be fair to the Cowardly Lion. All I know is he's on the yellow brick road someplace, and he's taking our gold. I mean, I've never seen a governor more out of control, more obsessed with peripheral issues that have no bearing on everyday Americans. What did he do at the end of this, or of June? He had a big pronouncement on Pride Month when people can't put groceries on the table. When their taxes are going up, when crime is running throughout the suburbs and carjacking, this is what your governor talks about. He's a pandering hack that has been the greatest disappointment in Minnesota history.
But, Jason, haven't you heard we ended hunger? We ended childhood hunger here in Minnesota.
Well, it's hard to do that when you're growing at 1.2%. Minnesota's got one of the lowest growth rates in the country and certainly in the Midwest. It's hard to... Tim Walz and the DFL and Angie Craig and Tina Smith, who's never seen an abortion she didn't want to help fund, are looking at Minnesotans and saying, everything is great. Now, are you going to believe me or your own eyes? And people are seeing it with their own eyes that they're lying. It's like Joe Biden's competent. I mean, at what point do people just say, you know, I think these guys have been lying to us for a while.
Jason will be appearing Thursday, August 1st at an event co-hosted with the Metro Republican Women and the Elephant Club here in the metro area. The former congressman joins us here on Twin Cities News Talk. Max Reimer in with myself, Robbie Rosenhaus. And Jason, just your overall thoughts on the debate last week. I mean, what hasn't been said about our president's condition, but again, to put it in your own words.
Well, I mean, look, it's nothing that we didn't already know. You'd have to be a member of the Minnesota media not to recognize that this guy is not fit for office. He's not going to make another 4 years. I don't know that he'll make it through the end of this year. That doesn't mean Democrats won't circle the wagons. I mean, there's an old phrase going back literally a half century called yellow dog Democrats, which means these people are so wedded to a Marxist anarchist ideology that they'd vote for a yellow dog if he were on the ballot. So they'll try to circle the wagons. But again, if you look at the lawfare and the legal abuse that's gone on, and thank God for the Supreme Court getting in the way of Democrats trying to jail their political opponents. But if you look at that precedent, that premise, Biden and the media should be charged with trying to interfere in an election by covering up his senility. No different than paying hush money, right? You're election interference. You're trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. Let's charge him. It's a good thing for Biden that the Supreme Court said presidents have immunity, isn't it?
Yeah, and to that point, Jason, I mean, the Supreme Court, and that's the other big story of the week, is that the Supreme Court hands down immunity in that case. I mean, it's got to be a victory for Trump and his team, and I'm sure when you saw that news, a smile came across your face.
Look, it's a victory for the United States of America and the Republic as we've known it for over 200 years. If you go back to Nixon v. Fitzgerald, if you go back to the history of this, if a president could be charged with a crime under official acts, Harry Truman would be a war criminal, incinerating hundreds of thousands of Japanese. Average citizens can't do that.
Right.
There's a whole host of things that presidents have to do, primarily with matters of war and peace, that would not be allowed in civilian life, as it were. So they've always had immunity for their official acts. That's what's so disingenuous about the hand-wringing by the lunatic left, as though this is something new. Everyone who's watched the Supreme Court and has watched history knew this decision was going to come down. Now, if the president decides to walk down Fifth Avenue, as Trump likes to say, and shoot somebody, they can still be charged. But in their official acts, and the benefit of the doubt is the outer perimeter, they have to have immunity. Otherwise, no president would do anything. And who doesn't understand that except the most disingenuous mob out there that will do and say anything for power, including jailing their political opponents? The Democrat Party, as we know it, especially Democrats in Minnesota, led by the rainbow alphabet coalition of Walz and Smith and Craig, they are far more dangerous than anything Donald Trump could ever imagine. They are willing to shred the Constitution in order to get power.
Jason, you had mentioned before about what it might take for the wool to stop being pulled over the general public's eyes. And I think that debate was kind of a watershed moment for a lot of normal Americans, independent voters, people who don't pay attention or who take the media at face value. It seems right. Like the implications from that debate now and then all the polling that's coming out is that it's not only the presidency, but there's down ballot implications. You yourself being in Congress, if you were to give any advice to somebody who might be in that position and might be in a majority come November, what do you need to be prepared for? I mean,
I can tell you from firsthand experience, these political consultants are not lessons of profiles in courage, Max. So what they're telling these down ballot candidates is run away from this guy. If you're in a swing district, do not embrace him. Run away. Don't ask him to come campaign for you. They're going to drop him like a bad habit. So that's a given. The rest of the blue state types, though, will circle the wagons, the ones in the safe districts and those sorts of folks. But, yeah, it's a huge problem for the Democrats, and it's of their own making. You go back to 2020 when I was in the midst of a Senate race. And we all knew that Joe Biden and Tina Smith, for that matter, were hiding behind COVID so they didn't have to go out in public. The best debate I could get with the representative from Planned Parenthood, or I mean Minnesota, Tina Smith, was an online debate. She wasn't going to go out and campaign. Biden wasn't going to go out and campaign. They hid behind COVID then. And to your point, now it doesn't look like they've got much to hide behind. So people are going to look at the worst inflation since Jimmy Carter, the worst crime rates in the Twin Cities, and probably in Twin Cities history, if you take a look at the suburban areas as well. You take a look at inflation. You take a look at all of this. I mean, young people have been priced out of buying a home in Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you've got a crisis in the making, and they're still talking about these identity politics issues, and I don't think it's going to work this time.
We're joined by former congressman here in the state of Minnesota, Jason Lewis. Jason, before you came on, we were reviewing an op-ed for the New York Times that Bill Maher had put out, and he was opining about the potential of an open convention, and a piece from it says, suddenly, instead of rehashing the debate from hell, worst episode of the Golden Bachelor ever, they would be hosting a competition, something Americans love. Who will get the rose this August in Chicago? Gavin or Gretchen? Suddenly, Stacey Abrams might said she's in, and so might Tim Ryan and Josh Shapiro and Amy Klobuchar and Ruben Gallego and Mayor Pete and Raphael Warnock and Wes Moore, and maybe Andrew Yang says he's a Democrat again. So this may sound like I'm doing a bit here, but I'm deadly serious that this would be good for the Democrats and give them a better chance of winning. What do you think of that idea?
Well, Amy Klobuchar would need a snowstorm in August in Chicago for her to get the nod, so that's not going to happen. You know, she likes to announce her presidential candidacy in during snowstorms.
Yes.
I think it would be fascinating television, and it would be kind of a clarion call back to the old days when conventions matter. But there's a larger problem. A, Biden would have to, I think on the second ballot is the way the rules work, would have to say, okay, I free my delegates up. But B, you've got a number of states where he's already on the ballot. And I'm not altogether certain how they would get him off. Once they amass a number of delegates, they get, like, okay, that's the Democratic candidate for president. So you add up all of those, and they've dug themselves into a hole of their own making by lying to the American people for 4 years that this guy was fit.
You are waking up today, and you're going to see me.
It would be fun. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't know that it's going to happen.
Through the snow. Donald Trump once called me Snow Woman for a reason. Nothing will stop me. So I hope nothing stops you from coming to our events in Concord and Milford and Portsmouth. See you there.
Well, there's your friend Amy. Max?
Yeah, Jason, talking about that open convention, too, I think Democrats have a real problem with the whole Israel thing, and that one of the stories had Biden just been the heir apparent, if you will, which has changed in the last week here, I think would have been the protests that are inevitably going to happen in Chicago. It seems right. Like they're actually kind of disenfranchising their own base with their position on Israel. Do you think they have kind of a similar problem with their own base?
Well, for sure. And only in America, when you've got this sort of establishment swap that's hell-bent on getting us involved in every possible conflict across right. the globe, would we be funding both sides of a war. But we are.
Yeah.
And not just there, but across the globe. And it makes no sense whatsoever. But it's very reminiscent to 1968. And guess where the convention was then? Chicago.
All right.
And they are going to have protests. And here's the other thing. They open this thing up. I mean, this is how bad it is. Biden is probably the best candidate for that situation. Because you think Stacey Abrams isn't going to go even further to the left? Or right. Kamala? Or any of these people? It's not like they're going to go in there and nominate Scoop Jackson. For crying out loud. So, I think there are going to be protests. I think it's going to be an absolute cluster, if you will. But it's all their fault. And it's all the media's fault, and including the Minnesota media. The Star Tribune finally has the Minnesota it's wanted for four decades. Total chaos. And the same with the country. The media lied to us repeatedly and deliberately to cover for Joe. Now the game's up. Their strategy of an early debate, by the way, I don't know that there's ever been a debate amongst presidential candidates before the convention. ever.
Right.
All right, yeah.
That was the total backfire. And so now they've been caught in another lie. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. I think there ought to be prosecutions for election interference. I'm just saying. I mean, if the media and the Democrats are lying to people in order to sway an election, where's Alvin Bragg when we need him?
No, without a doubt. And we're joined by Jason Lewis, who will be appearing in an event on August 1st with the Elephant Club, as well as the Metro Republican Women here.
Can you give me a number for that, Rob?
Yeah, yeah.
People want tickets. So
yeah, no.
On August 1st.
Yep.
In the evening, August 1st, and if you want to attend, as they say, just give them a call. Well, I don't have the number, by the way.
And the flyer you sent me does not have the number either. So we're 0-2.
Yeah, yeah. How about this? Email MJ at MNGOP.com.
There we go. And it'll be taking place on Thursday, August 1st. Here in the metro area. Jason, thank you so much again for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to having you back on the show when John gets back into studio, and hope you have a pleasant and patriotic July 4th.
Well, all I have to say to everybody in Minnesota is, if you're talking about Angie Craig or Tina Smith or Tim Walz or Joe Biden, are you better off than you were when I was in Congress? All right, enough said.
I think that's a great note to leave on. Jason, thanks so much as always.
Thanks, Jason.
Again, enjoy the holiday weekend.
Same to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that was Jason Lewis, a man of many words and many talents, and certainly had a lot to say there.
That man right there, Jason Lewis, he is the reason I'm sitting in this chair right now. He's the reason that I'm involved in politics at all. I'd be hard pressed to find a guy who has influenced my life in politics more than Jason Lewis. It's pretty sweet to talk to him.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and certainly is not short of hot takes. All right, we've had a ton of fun on the show today, but again, before we finish up the show today, let's have a little fun. We had some fun yesterday with AK and Brett, just doing kind of a quick quiz here, 10 questions each, and we'll see who comes out the winner. Brett, we'll start with you. Who was the first animal ever to be cloned? The questions yesterday, I feel like I got some feedback, were pretty tough, so I eased them up a little bit today.
Oh, so, yeah, this is much easier.
Well, who was the first animal to be cloned?
Sheep.
That is a that's a correct answer.
I think I knew that one too.
All right, well,
I had no idea.
Max, which three states share a border with California?
Oh man. Oregon, Nevada, and this is going to be bad.
Uh-oh.
Arizona.
That's correct. One each. What was the first state, Brett?
First state. State of confusion. No, it's Massachusetts. I don't know.
That's incorrect.
Oh man,
got 13 options.
What was the first state?
Delaware.
Delaware is correct. I was gonna play something stupid from Biden there, but you got it correct. Max, which state has the longest freshwater shoreline?
Michigan.
That's correct. Great, great answer there. All right, Brett, in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, what keeps the three-headed dog asleep?
Music.
That's correct.
Look at us.
All right, Max.
Now give me more of those,
we're on a
please.
Heater.
Thank
Max,
you.
Max, what's the name of Ginny's Pygmy Puff in the Harry Potter series?
What?
Oh, thank God you got that one.
George.
That's incorrect, Brett.
I have no idea.
The answer is Arnold. Okay,
that must be from the book.
Okay, well, fair enough.
What in the world?
Okay, so a couple of Star Wars questions here.
Oh, great. Great. Right. Sweet. Let's do it.
Brett, what is the name of Boba Fett's ship in Star Wars?
Slave One.
That's correct. Max, in Star Wars, who built C-3PO?
Anakin Skywalker.
Oops, did I say it wrong, Brett?
Robbie, you did not just say that.
Brett, what is the, how do you pronounce it?
C-3PO.
What is it?
Sorry. Got Robbie the Boomer
help
over here.
Help me out here.
Sorry, what is it?
C-3PO.
It's just C-3PO. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, that's awful. I'll give
John's
myself.
John's going to get the paddle
I'll give
when
myself.
He gets
no,
back.
I'll give myself a wrong for that one. That's fine. All right. Over to Max. Who was the first, over to Brett. Who was the first Disney princess?
Cinderella.
That's incorrect.
Sleeping Beauty.
That's also incorrect. The correct answer is Snow White. Brett, I'm sorry, Max, who was the villain in Peter Pan?
Captain Hook.
That's correct. Brett trails Max 5-3. Next up, which of the six main characters on the TV show Friends never got married?
Brett? What's his name?
Come on.
I've never saw the show.
Oh, you never saw the show.
Chandler.
That's incorrect.
Damn.
He got married to Monica.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Okay, these are okay.
Frasier.
That's the show that was on.
Kramer.
No, the answer is Joey. You both got it wrong. I should take away a point from both of you. This is going off the rails. It's a Wing It Wednesday. When was Diet Coke introduced in the United States? What decade, Max?
It seems like a 70s thing.
That's incorrect. Brett.
80s.
That is correct. 5-4.
I took yes.
Max leads. What famous theme park, Brett, was Doritos invented at? What famous theme park were Doritos invented at?
Oh, yeah. Six Flags Over Georgia.
That's incorrect.
Now what?
Disney World.
Disneyland would be the correct answer. All right.
This is going well.
Yes, it is. What is the name of the world's hottest chili pepper? Brett.
Carolina Reaper.
That's correct for that point. So Max leads 6.
I got him on YouTube.
Yeah. All right. Max, in which city is Studio 54 located?
Hollywood?
That's incorrect. Brett?
You said what studio is
Studio 54? In what city is Studio 54 located?
Atlanta.
That's incorrect. It was located in New York City.
Yeah,
one of the hottest clubs. Yeah, in the 70s. Yep. Which famous pop band, Brett, was called Kara's Flowers up until 2001?
Oh, One Direction.
Incorrect. Any guess?
Sugar Ray.
Incorrect. The correct answer is Maroon 5.
I love giving very confident answers to things I have no
that's
idea.
That's fair.
That's one of my favorite bits.
It's a good debate strategy, too.
Max leads 6-5. We have only 4 more questions to go here. So what was the first Disney animated feature movie that was not based on an already existing story, Brett? What was the first Disney animated feature movie that was not based on an already...
Disney?
Yep. Existing story. Animated feature movie that was not based on an already existing story. That's a good question, right?
Yeah, but I always forget what's Pixar and what's Disney and if they're separate or if they're not. I don't remember. I'm going to go, is Toy Story Disney? Pixar.
That's Pixar.
3-2. Moana.
Incorrect.
Is that also Pixar?
I believe that's Disney. Max, you have a guess?
Lion King.
Lion King is correct.
That's excellent.
All right, Max. What was the first live-action Disney remake to get a PG-13 rating?
I can't think of one live-action remake right now.
Okay. Brett?
Can I also go Lion King?
No, that's both incorrect. The correct answer is Mulan. I'll make a man out of you, right?
The animated is a classic. Did anyone watch the live-action
one? There was a live-action
Mulan. I did, too.
All right, Brett, what was America's first national park?
Oh, the St. Louis Arch.
Park, not mine.
That is a national park.
Is it?
You can look it up.
Okay, well, it's wrong. But go ahead, Max.
Yellowstone
is correct. Max takes a 2-question lead. Max for the win and for bonus points. What was the first animated movie to be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars?
Snow White.
Snow White's incorrect. Brett.
Best animated picture? Into the Spider-Verse.
No, it's Beauty and the Beast. But Max, you are the winner. Thanks so much for playing today's quiz. I know it was a little haphazard today, but I think we did a pretty good job there. I did a good job of hosting, but you guys just, I mean, you played along.
I need to get a translation from C-3PO.
I mean, that was awful. I mean, that's going to get a lot of talkbacks. And
C-3PO was just his weird cousin.
It's not going to be good. I think I need to go watch one of the Star Wars movies. Considering that we have, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 Star Wars things in this studio here, all thanks to our host. I mean, we talk Disney, we talk Star Wars at the end of the show. I was mispronouncing names. I mean, I'm just recapping the last 5 minutes, but today's recap, as always, is brought to you by the Sandvold Financial Group. In the first hour of today's program, we open the show with a couple of replays from the last couple of weeks of the John Justice Show. Isabel Brown, Gen Z conservative commentator, she talked with John about a number of issues. Kevin Roche from healthy-skeptic.com. He joined us in the bottom half of the first hour to talk about some malfeasance and some problems going on in our local hospital systems. In the 7 a.m. hour, the rundown included a bunch of stories such as the governor's descending on D.C., as well as many fireworks displays going on in the Twin Cities
and Hugo
area. And Hugo, listen, there's a ton of fireworks stuff going on. I'm very much looking forward to it. And then Max Reimer joined me in studio halfway through the show as we broke down a ton of reaction to Biden and basically the left kind of turning on the president, and a lot of audio coming out from CNN, from KJP, trying to defend the president as well as also kind of take shots at him. So it's the wild, wild west right now. We went into an op-ed from Bill Maher there, which kind of explained his thoughts. Oh, by the way, not to bury the lead, and we didn't get to it. He wants Gavin Newsom to be the nominee. So while he does have good ideas for an open convention, he has some bad ones for Gavin Newsom. Jason Lewis joined us in the final segment of the show. Producer Brett joined me for the final 3 days of the week. Thank you so much. We'll be off the next couple of days. Brett, thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Who said this quote?
No, I'm not brave enough for politics.
That would be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, it's a Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, boy. Max, thanks so much
for joining
us. Anything you want to imply on the audience?
I'm good.
Okay.
Let's have a great weekend. Let's have a good 4th of July. Eat some hot dogs. Shoot some fireworks. Don't shoot your hand off.
Remember, never apologize for being patriotic. Have fun. Have a blast. And enjoy your July 4th holiday. We'll be back on Monday morning with John Justice. Robbie Rosenau signing off on Twin Cities News Talk.
Here's a look at the roads. 35W southbound, still an accident on the left shoulder at Highway 280. 494 westbound backed up between Lindale and France Avenue. Highway 52 northbound, stop and go between the Lafayette Bridge and 94, heavy on the ramp to 94 west. And 35W northbound, the off-ramp to Black Dog and the on-ramp from Black Dog still closed with flooding. That's traffic on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and FM 103.5. Traffic is sponsored by Blindster.com.
Want to save up to 50% on new blinds and shades? Blindster offers custom-made blinds, shades, and shutters at prices way less than big-box retailers. And right now, save up to 50% off any order during Blindster's July 4th sale. Hurry, sale ends July 8th. Blindster.com.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.